Some of you may know me from when I was younger, and for those of you who don't, count yourself lucky, because when I was younger, I was, well, immature, hyper, very distracted by everything and anything. Youth pastor at the time, he kept getting mad at me because during Sunday school, I would get distracted by playing with the buttons on my shirt. Anyway, all of that to say, I found out later that all those things made me great for actually working with youth. So that's perfect. The immaturity, the hyper, all that stuff, fantastic. I figure working with youth, I never actually have to grow up. I can just stay a teenager for the rest of my life. But anyway, for those of you who don't know who I am or where I've been working up in Amherst at a church up there, Amherst Wesleyan. And this summer, I'm going to be making the move from Amherst down to Halifax, and more specifically Lower Sackville, to start with Youth for Christ. So that's a little bit about me, and now I want to tell you guys a story. When I was a kid, and this is a story that my mom and dad really won't let me live down. When I was a kid, me and one of my friends had this great idea that we were going to start to build a path back to this climbing tree that was back in the woods. We were going to go back and we were going to cut down the alders. We were going to make this trail that was going to lead to the tree. So we went in, we grabbed a bunch of tools from mom and dad's house. I don't actually know if I asked permission for it or not, if we just grabbed them. But anyway, we were back there, we were cutting down alders, and we were trying to make this path back to the tree. And after a little bit of time, a couple hours, we really tried to check out where our progress was. You know, how close were we to the tree? How much further did we have to go? And that's when we realized that we were completely in the wrong place. We were probably like 100 feet further up. We were going to miss the tree completely. And then I think we just gave up on the project, went back home, and I actually ended up leaving alder cutters and different stuff back in the woods, which that's the piece that they still don't let me live down now, is that they still can't find those alder cutters back there. So anyway, building paths. I was not very good at building paths back then. But when we go for a walk, when we try to explore new areas, or when we try to go into the woods or whatever, we usually look for a path. The path makes it a lot easier to get to where it is that we want to go. Without a path, if we're just walking through the woods, it can be really easy to get turned around, to go in the wrong direction, to not actually get to where you're looking to go. Sometimes you get lost. Sometimes you completely miss what it is you're looking to go to. And sometimes you can just end up exactly back where you started. But with a path, even if you haven't been there before, you know, as long as I stay on the path, if the path is going to where I want to go, then I'll get to where it is that I want to go if I stick to the path. And it may be surprising for you guys that since the 1700s, there are a lot more roads now than there were then. That I mean, in the 1700s, there were roads that would get us from a few places, probably not very well. You'd be on the horse and buggy, whatever it may be. You'd get there, but it'd be a long trip, and it would be a hard trip. And now we have roads, pavement, roadworks. The roads go a lot more places. We have cars that will get us from point A to point B a little bit more comfortably. And once again, like, those roads help us to get to where it is that we need to go, where it is that we're looking to get to for one reason or another. And in our spiritual lives, the same can be said. That we have somewheres that we need to go. We have a destination. That we need to get to Jesus. We need to experience the love of Jesus. We need to have that relationship with Him. And sometimes it can just feel like that's hard to do when you don't have a road to follow, when you don't have this path. So let's just go back to the 1700s. We'll say that we're trying to get to Halifax. you live out in the middle of the woods somewheres, it's really hard to actually get out of the woods to get to where you need to go and to get up to that location. When we were, I got lost. I'm just going to say it right out. I got lost. Anyway, that's why you need roads. All right. We as Christians need a road to get to Jesus. And we as Christians, it can be like we have found that road, we're on the road, and we are making our way to Jesus. We know how to get there. We know how to make our way to him, and we're able to have that experience and that relationship with him. But for so many people, that's not the case. They weren't born in the church. They weren't born having those experiences, getting to know who Jesus was from a young age. They were just born out, and maybe they stumble across this road. Maybe they stumble across the way that they actually get to experience the love of Jesus. They come out to a church, and they get to experience that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares for them, that Jesus knows who they are, that Jesus knows what they're going through. But more often than not, we get turned around. More often than not, they get lost in the woods. They don't know which way to go to actually make it to the road. And sometimes by trying to make their way to somewheres, they end up taking themselves further out into the wilderness. For those who weren't born in the church, making their way out to actually be able to experience who Jesus is a difficult task. And a lot of times, they don't even know what it is that they're searching for. They may not even know that there's a road there that will take them to this place of salvation, to this place where the mistakes that they've done can be forgiven, to this place where they can find family, where they can find people who love them, where they can find a father who loves them. But us as the Christians, us who have experienced that love, we have found that Jesus loves us. We have found that he cares for us. We know where it is that we need to go. But so many times, we stick to that road. We stay there, we stay where it's comfortable, we stay where it's safe, we stay where we know the terrain. And we'll just walk along at a slow pace, nice and relaxed, and we'll just slowly make our way. But I want to tell you today that we as Christians, we have a mission. We have a calling. And this is a calling for each and every one of us, each and every one who has had that experience with Jesus, who has that relationship with Jesus, to go out and to build roads into the wilderness, to build roads to find those who don't know where to go, who weren't born knowing how to get to Jesus, who may not even know that they need Jesus. So we as Christians, we have this mission for our lives to go out and to blaze a path into the woods and build roads so that others can make their way to Jesus and experience that love that we know and we cherish so much. So I'm going to open up to Luke 15, 4-7. If you guys want to turn with me, feel free. I'm going to be reading out of the NLT. Luke 15, 4-7. So what I'm going to be reading is a thing called a parable. And this is just basically a way to help us to understand what God is up to and what it is that we're supposed to do with our lives to follow God, to follow what it is that he's called us to do. So Luke 15, 4-7 is the parable of the lost sheep. And it says, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them get lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And when it is found, and when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. There are people out there who are lost, who are out in the woods, and they don't know which way to go. To go with the parable, we're in the field, we're comfortable, we're safe, we know where we are. But in that parable, we can see that there's a call. A call on us to go and to help find those lost sheep. To help bring those people back to Jesus. Because there are people out there in this world that are crumbling. That are scared. That feel like they're all alone. That feel like nobody cares for them. That feel like they're just vulnerable in the state that they're in. Maybe they've been hurt. Maybe they've been battling addiction. Maybe from past mistakes, they feel like they're trapped in this situation that they just have no clue how to get out of. Maybe they're battling with mental health, and they just feel like everything they try just makes it worse, and they just can't seem to figure out how to get out of this. As I was going over my sermon last night, I was listening to music, and there was this song that came on my phone as I was going through it. And it hit me in a way that I had to bring it in. I really wanted to share with you guys a section of what this song says. These are the lyrics. "I've been blinded by insecurity. All the pain I feel could be the death of me. I'm surrounded by fear that won't let go. If there's a way out, somebody let me know. I'm reaching out, one last plea. Is hope all gone? Somebody save me. SOS, I'm lost at sea. Is hope all gone? Somebody save me." I was sitting there last night, and this song, I've heard it before, but this time it hit me different. And this time, it hit me hard. That these words are the cry of somebody who just wants somebody to care for them. That wants to find something to give them purpose. That wants something to be able to allow them to have some sort of community and family and to know that there are people out there who love them. And we're sitting here and we know that Jesus loves them. We've seen that relationship in ourselves. We've seen that Jesus cares for us, that Jesus has a plan for us, and that Jesus will do anything to reunite us with him. And I was sitting there last night, and I was thinking how horribly sad to think that there are people out there who are lost, who are, say, holding on to a board out in the Bay of Fundy. Their boat's been wrecked, their life has been turned upside down, and in their last plea, in their last breath, in their last few seconds, they're clinging on for everything that they have, and they're crying out, "Somebody see me. Somebody know that I'm here. Somebody figure out that I am looking for something. And all I need is for you to bring me together with God." God is sitting there, he's saying, "I'm willing. I am trying to reach out to this person. Their situation, the place that they're in, I know it. And I want to bring them out of it. I want to wrap my arms around them and I want to care for them and to tell them that they are loved and that I want them to be reunited with me. And there's just that piece of the middleman. God is calling us to be that middleman, to go out and to say to that person, you know what? I love you and God loves you. To be able to reach out to them into their situation, to care for who they are and to care for the place that they're in, to bring them out of where they are and not just to say, Jesus loves you as they're passing by. And that's the piece that got me with this song. It's just to imagine that this person is clinging on for dear life on this board and a boat goes by and throws out a, I'd love to see you at church on Sunday, Jesus loves you, and then keeps on going. And then as the boat is, you know, sailing away, they think, man, it really sucks that that person didn't come out to church. It really sucks that they didn't take my invite. I guess they're just not interested in Jesus. I guess they're just not interested in Jesus' salvation. We need to be going out of our way to build roads so that people can experience the love of Jesus. We can't just stick in our comfort zone. We can't just stick on this road. We have to be going out and trying to blaze a path through the woods so that we can help them to experience Jesus. So that we can not only make it back ourselves through the woods because we know where to go, but we can actually build a path so they can follow us back. And when they get there, they can turn around, they can go back through the path, and they can bring somebody else through. We need to be building roads so that people can experience the love of Jesus. But what does this mean? Well, first off, everyone is different. Everyone has different interests. Everybody has different likes and dislikes. They interact with things differently. But also, everybody's in a different place in their life. They have different problems. They have different situations. And that means that we cannot stick to one road. That means that we cannot just start up one program, or we cannot just reach out to one certain area and say, well, it's close enough to those guys over there and those guys over there. They can make the last little journey. We need to be building roads to try to meet people where they are, to meet them in the situation that they're in. We need to be building relationships with these people, letting them know that we're doing more than just trying to reach out to just drive by so that they can follow it themselves, but actually reaching out so that we build relationships with those people who aren't Christians, those people who need our help. We need to be spending time with those people. But we also need to understand that when we're building these roads, that there are going to be obstacles in the way. There are going to be boulders, there are going to be trees, there are going to be things that we need to go around. The world we live in is not a perfect place. And it may come as a shock to you, but the church in general hasn't been a perfect thing. The church has made mistakes, you know. And whether it's people are hurt by the church through different situations, whether it's they hear of scandals on the news, whether it's this, that, or the other, there are obstacles in the way of these people coming to Jesus that they may not even listen if you just come forward with, Jesus loves you. They may think, well, they say that, but a lot of Christians are hypocrites. And that can be hard stuff to hear. So with building these roads, I want to share that these obstacles are things that we need to try to work around, that we need to try to, even if they say, like, I don't want to hear about Christianity, that we need to find a way to go around that obstacle to be able to actually still reach them and to still be able to share with them that we love them, that we're not just concerned about getting one more person in the pew so that we can add one more number to our attendance on Sunday. That we actually care who they are. We actually care what situation they're in. And we actually want to bring them to Jesus. We need to make sure that our actions match the words that we're saying. And that's so often the problem. Because if we go out and through the first 10 interactions that we have with this person, they have no clue that we're a Christian, we're swearing, we're doing this, that, the other, even if we're just judging everybody that's coming past us. And then we turn and we say, you know, you should really come out to church on Sunday. Jesus loves you and this, that, and the other. The actions don't match the words that they're saying, the words that you're saying. And that will leave them confused, and it will leave them so that they don't want to come to this, because why would they be just another one? Why would they want to be another one of those hypocrites? With these interactions, we need to care with who they are. We need to spend the time. We need to stop and say it's your neighbor. Say it's a friend. Say it's a family member, a coworker. To actually stop in that situation and say, hey, come on over for dinner. Come on over and play some games. Come on over and spend some time so I can actually get to know who you are and what situation you're in. So that I can invest in you and show you that I care. So that when I say that God cares, that you can actually see God working in me. And that you can actually see that God has changed me, and that God will change the situation that you're in. And God will make you into someone who's not struggling the same way that they are now. We need to build relationships. And I know that can be hard. I know it can be time consuming. And I know that it may not seem like there's a whole lot of progress. As a youth pastor, there's times where you come out and you do like a youth night, and there are times where you have 20, 25, 30, however many kids coming out, and you think, this is great. Like, I can see the progress. There's so many kids here. We're impacting so many lives. But it doesn't seem like you're making any real difference in their lives. And then you have the conversation where there's two people there and you think, this is such a failure. Like, we're not reaching that many people. And it's through those situations, it's through having the time to invest in those one or two people that you actually see that there is a difference being made in their lives. That they are understanding that Jesus loves them. And that Jesus cares for them, and he wants to bring them out of where they are. So all of this, everything that I've been, well, probably rambling on about, and you guys are probably like, he said this about 5 times already, but the reason why I've been digging into this is because I want to challenge you guys. I want to challenge you guys to go out and to build roads. Each and every person here. Jesus came and he died on the cross and he gave his life to pay for our sins, so that we didn't have to be separated from God anymore. A good chunk of us here, we've heard the stories, we know the facts of this, and we know that all we have to do is just give our life to him, to say a prayer, and the mistakes that we've made in the past, the ways that we've messed up so many times over and over and over again, Jesus wipes it clean. He says, you are mine. But I want to challenge you guys to not be content with just sitting here and saying, I'm saved. I am Jesus. I'm Jesus is, it's really, anyway. But to feel the calling to go and to build new roads, to find a way to go out and to reach those who haven't heard that news, who haven't come to that realization that they need Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you've made that commitment, then you know that how important that is. And how great of an impact that has on your life. So if we have any love for other people around us, we need to do everything we can to show them that Jesus loves them and to tell them that Jesus loves them and to bring them to the reality that they need Jesus in their life. Because of how much of a change it really does make. So I want to challenge you guys to build new roads, to lean into the way that God's gifted you, to lean into the different interests you have, the different gifts that you have, the different ways that you're able to interact with other people. If you're really good at hosting people, if you're really good on those one-on-one conversations, then lean into that. Don't say, you know, I'm going to go out and try to start up a group of 40 people that come together once a month and do yada, yada, yada. If you're really gifted in having those one-on-one conversations, then really lean into investing in one or two people at a time and just really showing them how much you love them and how much Jesus loves them. If you love sports, there's a lot of ways to go about it with sports, with this, with that. I'm not going to go through it all because I'll keep you guys here until, well, I mean, I was planning to preach for about 3 hours. Is everybody good for that? This may mean volunteering for a ministry that's going on here at Parker's Cove Baptist. I was almost going to say AWC, but we are not at Amherst Wesleyan Church right now. We are at Parker's Cove Baptist Church. I will not say that. It may be taking the initiative to head up a new ministry. You see that there's a need for something to go on at church and it's not happening. And instead of saying, you know, Pastor Mark or Pastor Colin, like this ministry should really be going on, it might be saying, Pastor Mark or Pastor Colin, I want to head up this ministry. I see the need. I see how my giftings line up to be able to do this. I want to take on the initiative and I want to really get behind this. Or it may be called to ministries outside the church, and it may be called to part-time or full-time ministry. I don't know where you're at. And it may be going into your job that you're in and just loving on people. With every interaction, showing them that Jesus has changed your life. It doesn't mean that, you know, every sentence you have to say, you know, Jesus loves you to every customer that goes through, but just showing them that you're different than everybody else. Showing them that you have the fruit of the Spirit changing you. And every time I say the fruit of the Spirit, I have that song get stuck in my head. Fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Don't ask me to say it in a different order. So they can see those fruit in your life. God is calling you. God is begging you to go out there and to build new roads to try to reach those who need to be reached. And that is a large part of why I'm starting with Youth for Christ. First, I felt strongly that God was calling me to youth ministry. That I had went to do electrical. I started up working out here in town for Charles. But I felt that God was calling me to youth ministry. And I knew that that was the call that he had for me way back, even junior high. He called me to youth ministry, that this is where he wanted me to be. And as I got into youth ministry right from the get-go, the second year of university, Mark reached out to me to say, Michael, I don't know why, but every time I pray for what's going on with the ministry, where the ministry's going to go and who I bring on board, your name and Jared's name comes to mind. Jared's my wife, by the way. And over the years, this relationship has continued, and this call has only gotten stronger. The fact that there are people in Halifax, there are youth in Halifax that aren't being reached by the church. The churches in Halifax are doing great, great things. They're reaching hundreds, if not thousands, of youth in the area. But there are still so many youth that aren't being reached. The youth in Halifax is essentially the same number, or it's actually more, than taking all the youth from Fredericton, all the youth from St. John, and all the youth from Moncton. And the number is still greater for the youth in Halifax. Actually, the youth in Halifax is a third of the population of youth in our province. But they are hurting and they are dealing with different issues and they are just in these situations where they are just crying out for somebody to hear them, for somebody to come along and to help them in the situation that they're in, to build a road so that they can find their way to Jesus. And that's a large reason of why I wanted to preach on what I preached on today, is because that is the calling that God has really laid on my life, is to go out and to spend my full time, my full devotion to going out and trying to reach those youth that are lost. To reach those youth that are just looking for somebody to come help them in the situation that they're in. I'm not really going to say anything more about Youth of Christ now, but when I get off the stage here, I'm going to go to the back and I'm going to have a little table out there in the lobby. If you guys want to hear more about Youth for Christ, if you want to hear more about what it is that we're looking to do, what our mission is going into Halifax and all of that, I'm back there and I would love to set up a time that I can come and meet with you guys one-on-one and share with you what it is that I'm feeling called to go to, what it is that God's calling me to go to. And I want you guys to remember something we do in Amherst, and I think it's beneficial, is to take one phrase from the sermon. And whether it's writing it with a dry erase marker on a window that you look at all the time at home, whether it's on a mirror, whether it's changing the background on your phones, to say this phrase. Something that you look at all the time so it can remind you throughout the week. And if you guys are up for it, I want you to write, build new roads. As a reminder for you guys that we are each called to go out and to build roads for people to come to Jesus. I'm going to pray to close up. Am I closing off or am I handing over to somebody else? I'll just close off. All right. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you guys and then I'll let you go. But if you guys do want to talk, I'm going to be at the back. And I'll say this one thing with Youth for Christ. One of the unique things with it, one of the unique challenges, is that going out into the community and doing the work that I'm planning to do, there's not necessarily a certain amount of funds that are going to fund my salary. With Youth for Christ, my job is to go out and to find partners to come alongside me in ministry so that I can go out and do the work that it is that God's calling me to do. So the reason, one, that I want to meet with you guys is to really share what it is that God's calling me to do. and really share that I need people to partner with me in prayer, to have my back, to pray for me through what it is that I'm going to do. But it's also to have my back financially so that myself and my family can survive while I follow what it is that God's called me to do. So if you guys are interested in having that conversation, it's not going to be if you make an appointment, you have to partner. I'm more than happy just to let you guys know what it is that I'm doing. But I'm going to be at the back, and I would love to have a chat with you guys. Let's pray.